the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
You and I know that we need exercise. You and I know that we need a good diet. You and I know that for the maintenance of physical health, there are certain things that we should do. And if a person gets unhealthy, it's not through a lack of knowledge. It's through a lack of a will to do what we know we ought to do. If we get spiritually unhealthy, it comes about by the same means.
You know, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom and understanding. This truth is the foundation of an education here at Bob Jones University. Through regular chapel services, individual attention from the administration and faculty, local church involvement, and rich friendships with other dedicated Christians, you'll understand why today's Bob Jones University offers many opportunities to know the Lord in His goodness, fullness, and power. The daily chapel hour is the focal point of the day at Bob Jones University. It's where the Spirit of God deals with us and takes care of the problems in our lives. In just a few minutes, we'll hear a message preached by the university president. But first, we'll hear the Bob Jones University Orchestra lead the choirs and congregation as they sing, "How Firm a Foundation."
Thank you.
Now, here is Dr. Bob Jones III, president of Bob Jones University, with today's message.
Would you please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6? I'll begin reading quickly at verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which broughtest thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. There's more, but we'll end our reading right now. If I put a title on this, I would title it reverently, Dr. God's Fitness Formula. Dr. God's Fitness Formula. God was Israel's family doctor, if I could put it that way, without being irreverent. God's people get sick easily. They did, and we do, because there are sin germs that are at work against every one of us. All life, whether it be plant life, animal life, human life, all life needs maintenance. You can't just plant seeds in a garden and just walk away and expect that garden to be a healthy garden. Weeds will grow up, insects will attack, blight will come. All life requires maintenance. A mother brings a child into the world. Her work is not over, it has just begun. That child requires a lot of maintenance, and in the early years in particular, and certainly in the years of infancy, when the child can do nothing for itself. Its maintenance is totally dependent upon the mother's care and the father's watchfulness. All life requires maintenance. And that's really what I believe is at the heart of this passage here, this entire chapter, actually. And I want us to look at Dr. God's fitness formula for his people. In verse 1, we have the transmission of the formula. He says, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which I've commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. They were going into a new land. They'd never been there before. It was the land of Canaan. They got it by God's gift. They didn't do anything to earn it, just like you and I get salvation. It's the gift of God. And we get into that land by God's gracious goodness and gift to us. But once we get into the land of salvation, there's constant maintenance involved to keep the giants from encroaching upon us and to inherit the land and to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of that which God in his goodness has granted to us of his own free gift and will. The land of salvation. And there was a renewed exercise that was required of them. He said, I'm telling you some things about this land that you have to do in this land. You know, you and I know that we need exercise. You and I know that we need a good diet. You and I know that for the maintenance of physical health, there are certain things that we should do. And if a person gets unhealthy, it's not through a lack of knowledge. It's through a lack of a will to do what we know we ought to do. And if we get spiritually unhealthy, it comes about by the same means. God was not giving them here a moral law, not the law of the Ten Commandments, that was already given. But he was reminding them of the renewed things that he had told their forefathers in their wilderness wanderings about what he required of them. And it was a formula that they might have plentiful enjoyment of the land and the benefit of all the good things that were in this land. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you glad you're saved? Are you really glad you're saved? Is it getting old to you? You know, we have to be renewed. Not in our life. You got life when you were born, but in your health, in the life that you enjoy and that I enjoy. We have to be renewed. We just take it for granted otherwise. We need to stop and sit ourselves down in a chair and look ourselves in the eye and say, you know, do you love Jesus Christ? Are you glad that you're saved? Or have you begun to just take it all for granted and you're getting spiritually anemic and just downright ungrateful for being in the land of salvation? He said, I'm bringing you into a new land. I'm renewing the formula by which you're going to stay healthy there. And then he presented the formula itself. Look at it. It's for you and me as well. The formula consisted, number one, of fearing the Lord. You find that in verse 2. Look, all of the good benefits to their spiritual health in this land depended solely upon their relationship to their God, and so does yours and mine. All good health that we have spiritually depends upon our relationship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, you've got to fear God. Without the fear of God, we're going to wander away from Him. If we don't fear the consequences of being out on our own in the wilderness and the crags and in the elements, we, like sheep, will go astray. We need to fear the shepherd. We need to fear the consequences of not fearing the shepherd. We need to fear what will happen to us if we wander off on our own. Fear God. That's reverential trust. But it's also the fear of God. I don't know about you, but if I stay close to the Lord, it basically depends upon the consequences of not staying close to the Lord. I fear what God can do. I fear His chastisement. It's done lovingly. It's to chastise us, to bring us back. But no chastisement is ever pleasant, the Bible says. At the moment, we don't like a whipping. When I was growing up, I feared my parents' whippings. A lot of times my obedience to my parents was basically out of a fear of the whipping I would get if I didn't obey them. There's nothing wrong with that. He said, my fitness formula for you consists, first of all, of fearing me. Secondly, of loving me, in verse 5. Hey, what are we doing right now just because we love the Lord? Did you spend any time in your Bible and prayer today just because you love the Lord, not because anybody told you you had to? Just because you wanted to draw near to Him? When was the last time you spent time with Him just because you love Him and told Him that you love Him? That's part of His formula for fitness. Then He said, I want you to internalize my words. Look at verse 6. These words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. That involves memorization and meditation. How long has it been since you memorized any Bible? How long has it been since in your reading of the Bible something arrested your attention and you just stopped and chewed it up and enjoyed the taste of it and swallowed it and tried to digest it and just tried to make it a part of your being? That's what He said. That's part of the fitness formula. And then He said, I want you to teach this formula to your family. Verse 7, He said, I want you to associate it with objects and pictures. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand and be as frontless between thine eyes. Strict Orthodox Jews, the very Orthodox Jews, they put the phylacteries on. They put them on their arms. They bind when they have their prayer time. They have the scriptures in these little boxes, these little black boxes, and they bind them. It's a symbolic thing for them. They're doing exactly, literally, what this verse said. Why did God suggest this to His people? He was saying, I want you to associate my formula so you can remember it with objects or with pictures. Years ago, the Chamber of Commerce here in Greenville offered a memory course. I thought, I need a lot of help with my memory. So I signed up for it, and I paid a fee, and I went down to their offices at my convenience. It was on a computer thing. And it was a pretty neat course. You'd get there, and this computer scenario would come up, and you would be in Paris at the American Embassy, and they were having a get-together for foreign dignitaries. And your host would take you through the room and show you the various people and, say, now, this is Madame so-and-so, and she's really a spy, and you keep your eye on her. She's working for the Russian government and so forth. And they took you through this whole scenario, and the whole deal was to remember people's faces and associate them with some kind of a picture, and the whole deal was the more bizarre the picture, the easier it was to remember it. Well, I got all psyched up for this, and I was trying so hard to learn from this. And I remember we had six preachers visiting the campus, and I'd never met them before, and I went down and shook their hands, and they gave me their name, and I associated some feature of theirs with something bizarre. And this one guy's name was Pastor Stamp, and I saw my foot stamped right on his face. That was the picture I had, you know. And the more bizarre it was, the easier it was to remember, supposedly. So we got to the table, and I was introducing these pastors to my children, to my wife, to my mother, and I came to him, and I said, this is Pastor Stomp. His name was Stamp. I said, phooey on this course, it only gets me in more trouble. But what God is saying here, I've given you this formula for your spiritual fitness. Associate it so you don't forget it with something you can see, a picture of some kind. I remember a friend of mine and I, several years ago, I was at his house, and he belonged to the YMCA, I believe it was, and he said, hey, come on down, and we'll get some exercise and so forth. And so he and I went into the steam room in the process of all this. And there were two other guys already in the steam room, steam everywhere. You could barely see people 3 or 4 feet away, you know. Man, it's hard to breathe. And so we sat in there, and my friend said, Bob, he said, it kind of makes you think about hell, doesn't it? And I said, yeah. I said, boy, I said, you know, how good God is to have delivered us from hell. We started this conversation. It was a process of witnessing to these other two guys without their knowing what we were doing. We started talking about hell and God's deliverance from hell through Christ, and how wonderful that we would never suffer an eternity in heat like this, and so many times worse than this and so on. Well, in a few minutes, those guys just got up and they left. And they went out and sat in the whirlpool. So shortly after, we went and sat in the whirlpool. We continued our conversation in the whirlpool. And these guys started asking all kinds of questions about, Lord, we had a great time. What were we trying to do? We were trying to take something that was a picture, something that they could relate to, and bring spiritual truth from it so they wouldn't forget it. I'll bet you today, every time those guys get in that steam room, they think about hell. And maybe they think about Christ. And maybe they will be saved. So what the Lord is saying to us here, I want you to associate my formula so you don't forget it with something you can see. And then he said, I want you to write it on the doorpost. I want you to write it down. He gave the formula. He said, if you want to stay spiritually healthy, here's what it will take. Fear the Lord, love the Lord, internalize His words, teach it to your family, associate it with objects and pictures, and write it down. But then he says, I want to tell you what the benefit of all of this is. Verse 2, last phrase, that thy days may be prolonged. It is not always true that God's people live longer than sinners, but you think about it for a minute. Those who love the Lord and try to please the Lord generally are healthier people. They realize that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and that they're not to abuse their body as sinners abuse their body. You see, the devil loves destruction. He wants the soul destroyed in hell. He wants God's purposes destroyed. He's a destroyer. He's called Apollyon in the book of the Revelation. It means destroyer. It's his purpose to destroy man's happiness and man's health, as well as man's soul. So he has all kinds of unhealthy enticements that lead to all kinds of diseases of the flesh and all kinds of untimely death. Out here on 385, a guy that was on drugs and on alcohol, they found all kinds of drug paraphernalia. He was drunk. Hit a car, turned it over about 5 times. The driver died of massive trauma, all because of sin. God's people can be innocent victims of people who are destructive because of sin. Sin destroys. God's people generally live longer, live healthier, live happier. Insurance companies recognize that. The people who insure the faculty and staff here at the university love to have this kind of a population to insure because their cost of paying out for health claims is far less than it would be for an average slice of American society. The benefit of the formula, long life, well-being, an increase in God's good place of appointment, verse 3. And he's talked about the completeness of the formula. I want to close quickly with this. Look at verses 14 and following. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of other people which are around you. God says there's no need of experimentation with other people's formula for life. He said, don't even think about it. I've given you the complete formula for a good, successful life in the land that I've given you. Don't even go elsewhere and seek to know other gods and other people and the way they live and their formula. Don't even go for it. There's no need to have experimentation. He said, there's no need of a second opinion. Verse 15, the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. No need for a second opinion. God's given you what you need, young people. He's given you everything you need to live successfully in this world as those who are the inheritors of eternal life. And he said, don't complain about the formula. Verse 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah or Meribah. I don't have time to go into that, but that's where they complained in the wilderness because they didn't have water. And they said, God isn't a good provider for us. And then he said in verse 18, trust the doctor to know what is right for your soul's health and your life's well-being. Verse 18, thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Young people, the Lord is teaching the basics of well-being for people to whom he has given life in this passage. That's what this passage is all about. The Creator and the Giver of life is telling his people how to enjoy their life, the formula for the best health of those who are alive in him. What is our theme for this school year? Learning from above how to live here below. This is another example of it. He said, I'm giving you a formula for fitness for my people. I am the Creator of your life. I am the Redeemer of your life. And this is for the best health of you who have your life in him. Let's be thankful for it. Let's love him for it. Let's rejoice that God has given to us the formula for the way life is supposed to be lived to the fullest of spiritual health and well-being. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Lord, we are complete in Thee, and Thou hast given us completely all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've given us the formula here, Lord, for Your people to live successfully in the land of Your provision. And so it is for us who are in the land of saving grace. How we thank You, Lord. How we love You for being our Lord. How we love You for being the carer of our souls, the doctor of our spiritual health. Thank You that You have left us with understanding. Thank You for the sufficiency of Your Word. And Lord, we want to live today rejoicing as people of God who have everything to be thankful for because You are our complete and wonderful Savior. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You just heard a recent message preached by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III. We're glad you joined us for today's broadcast, and we hope that today's program has been an encouragement to you. And we invite you to be on hand next week for another message from the chapel services at Bob Jones University on Chapel Echoes.